you in the sky. Yes, you are the reason why. Snow covers winter and melts into spring, and rivers meet the sea. God is here for you, and you were meant for Him. He'll give you more of everything, 'cause He has always loved you. His promises are true, so true. If you come as you are, don't change a thing. Open your heart, He'll walk right in. Come as you are, no alibis. His love for you will never die. There is a heaven, open your eyes. There you'll have no disguise. Oh, He'll never leave you, there's no need to hide. He's always by your side. If you just believe, there is a way, you'll see. It's just one step to eternity, and He will always love you. His promise will be true, so true. If you come as you are, don't change a thing. Open your heart, He'll walk right in. Come as you are, no alibis. His love for you,
would you say thanks again to Kanoe Gibson? That's great. Some of you might not know, but she was Miss Hawaii 2003, and then she was first runner-up for Miss America this last year. So it's neat to have her back, though. She said, I'm so glad I didn't win the pageant so I can come back home and sing at the church. Well, happy 9th anniversary to every single one of you. It is such a joy to see what God has done so far. You always want to remember that, don't you? You want to remember the good things and the things that the Lord has given to us over 9 years. And that video was outstanding. And the footage you saw, and that was of this last week's water baptism, where, as Pastor Elwin said, 165 people got baptized in water. And they got these plaques that remind them of that, to be remembering the good things that God has done. And to see that in that baptism time, there was a young man that had leukemia and had just received the Lord, and he walked in to be baptized to let people know that I belong to Jesus. And an old grandma that couldn't walk, she actually got out of a wheelchair and some people helped her in because she said, I'm going to be baptized. And one of the people running for mayor this year, who's been recently received the Lord, got saved, he came in and he got baptized. Just to see, it doesn't matter who you are, Jesus is my embrace, receives every single one, because the land or the ground is level at the cross. Are you glad for that? We are glad for that. And then everyone up here, you know, the dancers or the singers, everyone has a story behind their life. I mean, they're just not coming and doing a performance. There's a story of their lives and the transformation. So they don't just sing through vocal cords. They sing right through their hearts. You put the microphone up here, we stick them on their hearts. And when these young people dance, they're not just dancing because it's a cool thing to do. They're redeeming whatever they have and saying, Lord, this is our gift to you. This is what we bring to you. And I look at that and I think, isn't that great? Because it reminds me so much of when we first began 9 years ago. We didn't have anything. We didn't have a building. We didn't have chairs. We didn't have money. We didn't have brains. We didn't have anything. But we had heart. We had heart. And you know what the Lord said? That's enough. I'll use that. That's what I need to do miracles with, people's hearts. Because we can give God our actions, our religiosity, our intellect, our music, our ability. But if we don't give him our heart, it's unusable in his hands. Isn't that right? And so we had heart. But one of the things that I'm so grateful for our leaders, like you saw Dane back there leading the worship or the choir. You know, every single one of them works so hard at always correcting back to heart. Because you see, when you start, you have heart, nothing else. But then the tasks increase and the outreaches increase and some of the accolades might increase. And all of a sudden you think, hey, where's the heart? Where's the heart? And one of the things I appreciate about our leaders is we say, you know, let's prune back to heart. And we have no problem doing that. And we just prune right back. Where's the heart? Oh, there it is. There's the heart right there. Okay, all right, let's grow again. And then about another 8 months, where's the heart? I don't know. Where's the heart? Prune back to the heart. Where is it? There it is. There it is. Okay, now let's grow. And let's try to grow commensurately to the growth of the heart. Where'd it go? I don't know. Prune it back. There it is. There it is. Okay, all right, let's grow. There you go. So that in 9 years, our heart is still that which is most important. And I say to our people, you always live heart first when it comes to serving the Lord. Live heart first. Sing heart first. Worship heart first. Serve heart first. Because that's what God will use to do miracles. It isn't talent. It isn't acumen. It isn't resources. It isn't anything except heart. And you put that in, you add it to the others, and it makes what we do something beautiful for God. So I appreciate all of these. And you want to remember all of those little lessons that God is bringing. Now, you know why we need to remember or recall the things God has done, like the video so aptly showed us, is because Israel always had a tendency to forget the things that God had done. Well, why does God say, when you get into the new land, don't forget? Why do you think God says, remember, remember? In fact, when we celebrate communion, it's all about the Lord saying, remember what I have done for you. Why? Because God wants churches to become this memory lane of what happened in yesteryear? No. Because the good things that God has done in the past, watch this, all of those wonderful miracles and things that he's done, that becomes the faith for the future. Because what God has done, he will continue to do. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and... But if you forget what he did yesterday, you won't know what he can do tomorrow. God can do great things where he delivers us from distress and he brings healing and takes us through a financial setback. And we, oh, wow, that's so good. And the next day we forget about it. And then we have a financial problem. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the Lord says, don't you remember what I just did? Oh, yeah, no, I forgot. Sorry. Yeah. And the Lord is saying, yeah, you see, it's not just about yesterday. It's about remembering in order that you'll have faith for today and tomorrow. So don't forget. I think one of my favorite stories about quickly forgetting it, these three old ladies about 85 years old were gathering together and they're just bemoaning the fact they're losing their capabilities. And one was saying, oh, I can't see or hear very well at my age. And the second lady bemoans. She says, you know, and I can't remember a thing. I'll go into the kitchen. And then as soon as I get into the kitchen, I can't even remember what I went into the kitchen for. And the third lady says, well, thank God I'm healthy and I don't have the problems like you guys do, knock on wood. Hold on. Somebody's at the door, I think. But God says, remember what I have done. Don't forget. Why? Because it's about yesteryear? No, it's about your future. Would you write in number one, write in your notes, what God has already accomplished gives us confidence for the future. What God has already accomplished gives us confidence for our future. And that's what happened with David. David, the great shepherd, at that time was a young, strapping shepherd boy. Israel was having problems because his giant, Goliath, was facing their future, facing them off with their future. Going to destroy Israel's future. And everyone was anxious and stressed and filled with fear. And David said, you know, I remember God did something really good in my life. There was a lion that came after me and I nailed him. And then a bear tried to come and I knocked him out. And I figure if God can help me with them, he'll help me with this unbelieving Philistine. So he went to Saul and said, Saul, don't stress out. Don't you worry because I'll take care of the Philistine. And Saul said, no way. You can't do this. Now watch the confidence David has and how God honored that faith because he remembered what God had done. Let's look at the very top of our notes together and read what it says. Go. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. Isn't that great? David said, I know, and I have confidence that I will be able to slay giants. Where did he get the confidence to slay giants? Did he take like a seminar downtown at the community center? You know, how to kill big people? No. No, he got it from what? He got it from remembering what God had already done. And because of that, he says, I have faith that God will continue to do it still. That's why he writes in the book of Psalms under number one. Let's read Psalm 77. Go. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. I will meditate on all your works and muse on all your deeds. What God is great like our God? You see, he's saying, recall the good things in life that God has done for you. The time that he healed you, the time that he brought you back from this financial setback and helped you make it through with a deeper sense of character. Just recently, some of you may have heard the testimony of one of our people, Arnold Takaki, who was near stage 4 in cancer. It was in his kidneys, metastasized into his lungs and other area of his body. So he went up there and they said, the first thing we got to do is take out this kidney because it's just jam-packed with cancer. They went out, took out the kidney and said, now we got to work on the rest. It is metastasized throughout your body. But you go back to Hawaii and heal from the surgery, and then you come back to UCLA, and we're going to dose you with a bunch of radiation and other things. And he came back, and people here prayed for him and prayed for him, prayed for him. He went back to UCLA just a few weeks ago to do the rest of the chemotherapy, whatever they were going to do, interleukin. And he went up there, and they looked at him, checked him out, and said, all the cancer's gone. Go back home. Sent him back home on his birthday. Now, isn't that great? You want to remember those things. You want to put them and seal them inside of your heart. And the things that God has done for you. When you have come up against a wall and God has delivered you. I mean, think of the times that we should be dead today from accidents or near collisions. That God either woke us up or something happened and steered. How many of you think in your mind, you know, I should be dead. If it weren't for the Lord, I'd probably be dead today. Raise your hand. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of us. I should be dead 3 or 4 times by now. But God intervened, and I'll never forget that. You know what it does? It gives me faith, not for yesterday, for tomorrow. Because you see, there's still giants lurking in the future, and I'm going to have to face them. And the faith that I will have from what God has already done, I'll have faith for the future. Just like David, from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, I can handle this guy. See, the daddy lion, daddy bear. So I took them. That's what it meant, paw of the lion, paw of the bear. And so, no, I'm just kidding you. You guys got to listen. P-A-W is this part. Rawr, rawr, rawr. Not the father of the lion. But he said, I'll take this lion thing, I'll take this bear thing, and you help me destroy them. I know I can do that giant in. And God blessed his faith. I remember there was a time when we needed $200 by 4 o'clock. We had this guy, he was a Tongan guy. He was building a wall in front of our house, and he said, I'm going to need this money in a week or so. Then he came one day in the morning and said, I need $200 at 4 o'clock. My wife said, I don't think we have it. My husband isn't home. He's at the office. He said, I need it by 4 o'clock. And he left. Oh, no. So Aaron was about 8 years old. She said, Aaron, come. We got to kneel down and pray. Oh, God, we don't have any money. We need $200 by 4 o'clock because this Tongan guy is much bigger than your father. Oh, God. That is a true story. About 2-3 o'clock, a lady drove to our house and said, I was praying and God said, I was supposed to give this to you. I don't know why, but here, gave Anna a check and it was $200. And you know what? She called Aaron over and, Aaron, look, isn't God wonderful? Look at that. And he said, oh, wow, that's so cool. Your father can remain alive now. Now, this next one I'm going to tell you is something I remember, and I am not enlarging this at all. You know, I am not. Because you're going to say, no way. But it's absolutely true. Aaron, when he was about 10, his teeth started going crooked. So we had to buy this retainer. And we didn't have that much money, but it was $300 for this retainer. So I bought the first one for him, and he loses it. He plays the skateboarding, and I don't know what happens. And whoo, the thing is gone. And so I have to buy him another $300. Aaron, you can't lose this. He said, oh, sorry, Dad. No, sorry. Just don't lose. That's it. You can't lose it. If you lose this one, I don't have any more $300, you know. So I'll just have to pull all your teeth out. Then it'll be straight all the time in your mind. But you cannot lose this. Don't lose this. Okay. Well, one day, about 3-4 weeks later, he's playing in the backyard and he loses it. Can't find it. I come home. This is a true story now. I'm not exaggerating this. I come home. Our car is in the backyard with its lights on at about 8-9 o'clock, pitch black. The car lights are on. And I walk around and thought, what is our car in the backyard with the lights on? Anna and Aaron are looking through the grass. I said, what are you guys doing? She said, he lost his retainer. I said, oh no, another 300 bucks. Yeah, he lost. Is that right, Aaron? Yeah, Dad, you don't get full white. Oh no. I said, oh, no. I don't have the money, hon. So we go in, we pray, oh, God, I don't know what to do. And Aaron, oh, God, oh. Well, the next day, and here's where you're not going to believe this is absolutely true. The next day, Anna hears our cat at the back door. Meow, meow, meow. She opens the door. The cat brought the retainer and dropped it at the back door. Absolutely true. You go, no way. You call my wife and ask her. And there was even cat teeth marks on the retainer. And it was right at our door. I thought, this is amazing. My wife calls the principal of the school where Aaron is at and said to the principal, just tell Aaron the cat brought the retainer back. The principal said, what? Just tell him that. So he's in class, a little kid. So the principal hands him a note. The cat brought your retainer back. And in the middle of the class, Aaron's little kid goes, God is so awesome. But those are memories that I have that you say, you know, when I hit a financial impasse, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, yeah, God use the cat. That's right. If he uses a cat, you know, God send me a cat. And God will provide. He has. You remember those things and solidly put them into your memory banks. Why? Just to think about yesterday and venerate it? No. In order to have faith for tomorrow. Because you're going to face giants yet in the future. And you have to remember the lions and the bears and what God has done. And it'll give you faith. See, a lot of times we dwell on the wrong stuff. He says, you must muse on these, meditate on these. We dwell on the wrong things. I remember what he said. I remember when I blew it. I remember when I tanked in that speech, or I blew it in that class, or I messed up on this business deal, or what that guy did to betray me. We think about all of these, and it steals your faith. The Lord doesn't say that. You know what he says? Let's read Philippians 4 right together. Ready? Go. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, what? Dwell on these things. And what? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You know what God is saying? I will attend to your future events with joy when you dwell on these things and practice this. So when you dwell on the wrong stuff, it steals your faith. And what you've done is you've eliminated any atmosphere for the miraculous to take place. But what you need to do is dwell on the right things. And you put these as memories in your life. You say, well, how? What are some of the ways that we can do that? Let me give you one or two. Very easy. Number one is you write in your first bullet there. Learn how to build godly traditions. Build godly traditions. Because you see, in our society, our traditions in our families have all but vaporized. They used to eat together and do things together, and every holiday everyone would be there together. But because the family fracture system where we move or military, it's just basically all but vaporized traditions. We understand that. So we've got to work really hard at building certain traditions that are like anchor points, mile markers. So later on when kids stray, they'll remember the mile markers and they'll find a mile marker. Ah, I remember that we used to do this all the time. And from there, find their way back home. But if we don't have any of those mile markers, how are they going to find their way back home when they're drifting? Let me tell you one of the best, because everything is kind of vaporized, but here's one we can keep, and that is this. Would you remember this, that going to church on the weekends is a phenomenal family, godly tradition. Just make that as a tradition. Oh, we get to go. I remember when my kids were growing up, I don't want to go. You go. No, get up. Come on. No, I don't like the preacher. You better like the preacher. Get over here. And we get them there, but you know, it's in the years yet to come that our kids will say, you know, I remember when Dad and Mom were financially struggling and we went to church and God spoke to us and God gave us a word that gave our hearts a lilt. I remember when we were struggling with discouragement and it was in church that God spoke to our family. And all of these things, your sons and daughters over the years, a generation yet to come, will see what God has done and buy into that. And they then will become men and women of faith as well. You see, remembering what God has done in the past isn't just for past memories. It's for present and future faith. And that's why we want to pause and see all the things that God has done and never, never forget those. Build godly traditions. And that's what the Israelites used to do. They used to build altars of stone. When they came out of Egypt, out of slavery, they'd stop in the wilderness and build this huge altar of stone and say, this is to remind us what God just did. Now, generations would pass. Watch this. Let's read what happens in Joshua. Joshua 4, verse 6 and 7. Would you read it with me? Go. When your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them what happened and how God delivered us. You see, the things that God did in the past is not just for my current faith, but it may be to teach the next generation yet to come that weren't a part of all of this, because that'll take place. So he says, here's another way to do this, you know, to remember. In the Old Testament, they used to wear these, what they call tassels, little tassels flowing from their garments, and each one would represent one of the commands of God. And this would remind them that God's commands were around them to steer them and guide them. And that's why he would say this. Let's read under the next bullet, the scripture, and then we're going to come up and fill it in. Okay? So let's read it. Go. Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they are to make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations. It shall be for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord. You see, what he was saying is these tassels are tassels that point people to God. Would you write that in bullet? These are tassels that point people to God. In your home, for example, you can have tassels. Tassels, Tassels like the baptism plaque that when you're baptized, you put that up on your wall. When people come, they say, what was that? What was that all about? How come you're standing in the water and someone's trying to drown you? What's that all about? When time to come, people will ask, you shall tell them. That's when I gave my life to the Lord in a public way. I chose to die to the old and live to the new. Oh, what's this scripture on your wall mean? Why is it so significant? Why out of the many scriptures do you have this one calligraphied on your wall? And you shall tell them. I ask people, if someone walked through your house for 15 minutes and never said anything to you or you to them, after 15 minutes, could they, just by the reminders that you have, not just gaudy stuff, but I mean the reminders that you have excellently placed around your house, can they tell in 15 minutes, this woman, this man who live here, they're a people of faith? Can they tell that? Or is it not there? See, these tassels always remind us and those children growing up about the presence of the Lord. See, it's hard. It's hard to yell at your wife. You're like, you're stupid. And there's a scripture behind you. Turn around and it says, be still and know that I am God. It was reminders. Another tassel is when you wear a New Hope shirt. And when you go downtown, and there are some very nice ones that we have, and someone says, oh, you go to that church. Well, what is that all about? And you shall tell them. You see, it's a tassel. It points people to God. You have a one that we are not real, you know, some of us are a little afraid of, but our bumper stickers, you know, license plate holders, put that on. That's a tassel. That'll remind you, drive like a human being and not like an alien. You say, well, that's not a tassel. That's a hassle. But those things remind us, see? Oh, I remember who I am. Don't forget, lest you lose who you are. When you have your journal out and you're doing your devotions at, you know, at a coffee shop or something in the middle of everything, and the people see that journal, you see that journal, and you're writing, you see someone walk by, sorry. It reminds you. You guys are pretty good. You catch it. You know, I don't even have to say. I just like make animal grunts and you go, we got it, we got it. That's us, we know. That's good. But those are like tassels to remind us or to point us back to God. Now, is it just for us? Yes and no, it's for us because our remembrances build confidence for the present, so that we can tell it to the generations that come after us and for ourselves. But I want you to know this. Let's say you look at that video and you say, you know, I wasn't a part of all of that. I wasn't a part of that. Where do I sit then? Because I don't have those memories. Oh, that's good enough because I saw the video and that's good. Okay, you know, that's really nice when people like myself will come and share with you the things of faith that God has taught me. But those are my experiences. You cannot live off of my faith. My testimonies that I share is to encourage you, impress you, and point you to the one with whom you have to have a first generation faith with. Would you write that in that next bullet? You have to develop a first generation faith with God. And as wonderful as my testimonies might be, or others that come up and give testimony, that's great. That inspires you. It points you to God. It ushers you to the Lord. But you cannot kill the giants in your future based on my faith. Every single person must have a first generation faith. That happened in with the children of Israel in Egypt. The first generation that saw the miracles of God died. And then it says this. Let's read what took place. Go. All from that generation were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the work which he had done for Israel. See, there's going to be another generation, and you cannot live off of my memories or my faith. Every single one of you has to have a first generation faith. Listen, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. Which means if you're a son or a daughter, you can't live off of your parents' faith. That's why we say here at New Hope, you got to jump in. Oh, you'll hear someone say, oh man, that was so good that I went on this mission and saw this or that, or I jumped in, I served at New Hope, and God taught me this. That's great. But you got to jump in yourself. You can't say, well, they'll do it and I'll just learn from that and that's nice. And no, no. Everyone has to have a first generation faith with God. So I say, hey, you know, when I got involved in ministry, man, it was so good. God taught me character. Because from sitting in the chairs on Sunday, I learned wonderful things about faith, but I did not incorporate faith yet until I myself jumped in. Now I'm sharing this and I'll say, you know, when I got involved in ministry, I thought everything was going to be like, wow, wonderful and divine. But I forgot we work with fallen people, even in the church. And so we locked horns with somebody. And I was so upset thinking, this is supposed to be a church. How come? You know, I didn't forget that we were supposed to be Christians. I forgot that we were human. And we all have emotions and mistakes and personal trials and struggles that we're trying to work out in our own lives. Different stages of maturity. And I locked horns with someone and, you know, was in the midst of that. And now, while I was serving now, and I wanted to quit and bail out, God talked to me, spoke to me, and I learned how to forgive in the midst of serving. Oh, I learned about it in a class. I learned to do it in the midst of serving. Oh, says the other one. Okay, I got it. No, not yet. You jump in now. Because everyone has to develop a first-generation faith. I want to inspire you, encourage you, usher you to the Lord. But until you jump in, you won't find the point where you can say, now I believe. You've got to make that faith your own. Some time ago, a lady called me crying, saying, you know, we came to the Lord 5 years ago, and my son who came to church with us, I bought him a nice Bible, a nice cross, And I came home last night and he threw the Bible in the hallway and threw the cross and said, I don't want it anymore. What do I do? I said, oh, don't worry. You keep living the life that God has for you to live. And you pray for him and encourage him and tell him the stories of your life. But encourage him to jump in. All he's doing is saying, I need my own faith. I can't live off of yours. So help him. Help him to experience the things that God has for him. Well, the neat ending of the story is, this was in Hilo, and the neat ending of the story is this guy came back to the Lord, married a wonderful lady, and they're both serving in ministry today. But you see, all he's saying is, I need to have a faith that's my own. And that's right. And that's why, as you remember the things from the past, it gives you confidence, but you jump in and practice them, and it gives you victory for the future. So would you write in your notes here, number two, combining yesterday's confidence with a daily growing competence, which means you jump in and learn the skills of life, it'll assure us of a great future. Yesterday's confidence that builds today's competence, when you get involved, it'll assure us of a great future. Now let's read Psalm 144 and verse 1. Go. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Who trains us? The Lord. Yeah, so would you write three things that we need to do? Number one, the three lines. Remember. Remember what God has done. Don't forget. And then the next bullet, train. He trains my hands for war. God will get me involved today, and I start to train. And then he says this, don't dwell on the things that are bad, because there's going to be some bad things that'll take place. But don't dwell on those. Learn from those. What do you dwell on? Things that are good, right, pure, lovely, of good report. Anything be worthy of excellence. Anything be worthy of praise. Let your minds what? Dwell on these things. And when you do or practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. So would you write number three? Practice. Practice those things of dwelling on the good. And when that happens, this next scripture becomes a promise. Let's read it. Go. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So what is God saying? Remember what I've done over these last 9 years, because that's the stuff faith for the future is going to be made out of. But it's not just somebody else's experiences. It has to be your own. So how do you develop your own? Jump in. Learn from these that will give you the assurance that God is at work. It'll give you faith for the present. Jump in and practice, train. Let God train your hands for war. And that will give you faith for the future. And we'll all have remembrances, and we'll all have a first generation faith. And when the giants loom in the future, we'll have full confidence that we'll take them. Why? Because we know in whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that He's able to keep us until that day. So you keep going strong. Never forget what God's done. Remember, put some tassels up around your house and around your life to always remember that our God is faithful. And another way to keep those records is in our journals. And we wanted to give each of you a gift on this anniversary. And it's a beautiful fake leather journal with a really nice logo here that came glued on. And it's really a nice one. And we wanted to give this to you as a gift. And on the inside, we have, because people are saying, hey, you know, when is the New Hope TV and what channels are they on? We put it on a magnet for you, all of the times and channels. How's that? And so, and it's a magnet. So anything hard or like metal, right there, brother. That is on your head. But you have to be Portuguese for that because it's metal. Yeah. But better for the rest of you, your refrigerator or something. And that'll help you to be reminded. Now, please only take like one, you know, because we just have a certain amount of supply. Don't go, oh, my mara not here, my brother, my ara mara, my ara brother, my sister, my father, my mara, my ara brother. So you walk away, oh, I get plenty now. No, just one each. And please do that, all right? Just take one each. And then pass the rest down, and they'll pick up any extras on the end. Okay? If your child is like a baby, 2 years old, don't give them one, too, because they can't even read yet. They'll just eat it. So just pass that down, and then we'll take the rest. We'll have some extra for next service. Okay? Great. All right. Well, happy anniversary to each of you. We're so glad that we're a part of this wonderful church with you, and that we're remembering what God has done to give us faith for the present and confidence for the future. That's what remembering is all about. Let's do that together. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all that you have done, that we develop a first generation faith where we know in whom we've believed. Because we saw you do great things in our life. We heard about it in others that gave us an inspiration and an ushering to you. When we got to you, we jumped in. We didn't just watch, we jumped in. And it gave us a first generation relationship and faith with you. And now we can say, not just religiously, we can say with confidence, I believe. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just to find that you're awake, and the magic that surrounds you can lift you up and guide you on your way. I can see it in the stars across the sky. I tripped 100,000 trees before, now I finally realize. You see, I've waited all my life for this moment to distance. You see, it never was that far. Oh no. Heaven knows your existence can push you to be everything you are. Oh, there's a time for every soul to rise. It's in the eyes.
Together. Happy anniversary. It's just been a joy these last 9 years. And some of you just come in this last year or the last couple of years. You're in for the time of an adventure of your life as God will grow you deep, grow you strong in the things of God. And that's what this series is all about. Life's growing seasons. And this is a season to celebrate, but a season also to remember what God has done. Put them up around you to remind you, like the altars of old. Remind us that what God did, He will still do. what God said, He is still saying. He's a God who's alive. Would you take a hold of the person's hand next to you? Lord, on this 9th anniversary weekend, we want to say thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We don't ever want to forget. Oh, it's easy to let the negative overshadow everything else. And it puts just a pall over our lives. We choose to remove that in Jesus' name and dwell and muse on the great things of God and practice these things, because we're not prone to, we're prone to look at the negatives. We will practice dwelling on the good things and the blessings and all that you've done. That's what generates faith for the future. Thank you, Father, for helping us to walk with you personally, every single one, with a first generation faith. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank the Lord again with you with a clap offering. Lord, we're so grateful. We are so grateful.
Christ the Lord.
Have a wonderful day. Give someone a hug and say happy anniversary.